Philippians chapter number 3, beginning at verse number 13, verse number 13 and 14. Forgiveness. It is perhaps one of the hardest things to give away. The last thing that is on your mind every day. It's opposite of how you feel. Because the pain that they created is so real.
Jesus.
I'm going to speak this morning on forgiveness. And by forgiveness, Webster defined forgiveness as the pardon or the release of something. And so in order for us to really forgive someone, we have to let go of that thing.
Amen.
Now, while I'm saved and sanctified and filled with the Spirit, forgiving you is not necessarily forgetting what you've done to me.
All right. Amen.
Just because I say to you that I forgive you, don't take for one second that I'm setting myself up to allow you to do that same thing again. You may do his cousin, but you won't do that again. See, the first time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me. So while I'm saved and you do something and I forgive you, my heart still say reach out and release. But release is hard when revenge got you. Because I want to get you back as though what I do to you is worse than what God will do to you. And so what we have to understand is that in releasing, we give God permission for revenge. For indeed the Bible says, revenge is mine, said the Lord. I will repay. So when people do you wrong, don't worry about revenge. Now don't get real cute and real holy so fast, because I don't want you to block it out of your memory either. See, it's a good thing that I remember the things that happened in life, because it stops me from touching the stove the second time. And if you burn me once, you'll burn me again. Because you can take the snake and you can put him in the house and you can feed him wherever you want to feed him, but a snake is still a snake. And if you set it up correctly, the snake is going to bite you again. What makes you think your haters won't bite you again? Do you really think y'all cool all of a sudden just because the word forgiveness came about? Only God has the power to change mankind. Revenge is mine, but memory belongs to me. And so I have to remember what you did to ensure that I don't set myself up for that again. The difficulties in this is that Paul says, I have learned, I've apprehended. He says, in essence, it's a learned behavior. See, forgiveness is not a natural thing. The truth of the matter is, when you wrong me, what is natural is for me to hit you. That's what's natural. I know y'all say, I'm feeling the Holy Spirit and all that kind of stuff. So I'm just going to talk this morning to me. I'm just going to let you hear, okay? Because when somebody does something to me, I want to get them back. That's who I am. See, what's inside of all of us is the blood of Adam.
Amen.
So by nature, that's what we want to do. See, I told you before that we're bipolar. We're natural and we're supernatural. But supernatural. supernatural is slow because that's not just first in my life. First is the natural man. So you do something to me and reflex punch you back. See, we have to learn the behavior that when something happens to us, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See, that's a foreign language and a foreign lifestyle to us on this earth. Because on this earth, God is a spirit, and so that spirit of God requires to live inside of a body. So we have to invite God to come in. That's the only way we can get to a point of forgive our brother. I find it challenging and I find it interesting that when we pray the disciples' prayer, not the Lord's prayer, the disciples' prayer, we say, Lord, forgive us as we forgive. So the condition is, if I'm not big enough to forgive them, then God, you don't have to be big enough to forgive me, because the same way I treat my brothers on this earth while I'm waiting to go to heaven, I give you permission to do it. So here I am talking about a God that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with, but I hate my brother, the creation of God. Something is wrong with that picture. And so what God is saying to us is that you have to see the God in all of his creation. And that whatever God created, he says it is good. Now you may not like some of the action from his creation, but the creation is good. So if God created it, we have to understand somewhere deep, and some folks, you have to go really deep to see anything that looked like God. Because some people have God so far pressed down into them that you cannot see God in nothing that they do. I mean, even when they're praying about you. Even when they preach, they're preaching about you. Even in their holiest of states, they're still throwing rocks at you. That's why the Bible says you got to stay prayed up. Because everything somebody released to you doesn't mean you have to receive it. But how do you know what to block if you're not listening to God? So listen to what he says. He says, brethren. So he deals with the church folk. So he's talking to the church folk, not to the world. Because the truth of the matter is, the world has learned how to accept people for who they are. It's us folks in the church that your dress is too short. So go back into the world until you can fix yourself, until you can become saved, then you come back to us all pure. God says, come as you are. I love that, because without that, I could have never came to him. And even in his presence today, there's some stuff inside of me that God doesn't approve. You better get him some praise, because there's some stuff inside of you this morning while you sit in church that God does not approve. So he says, brethren, church folks, sanctified folks, saved folks. He says, brethren, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, God arrested me on this thought. And the thought that God arrested me on is forgiveness. It's forgiveness. Now, I know what they did to you. And I know that you have the right to continue to do as you think you can do. The problem is, someone has to be the bigger person in the situation. Now, forgiveness doesn't make me amend. Forgiveness means that I'm willing to do to you what I want my Father and my Savior to do for me. Amen. And so God is saying, for you to forgive someone, you got to release them. See, forgiveness is about letting it go. Oh, what beautiful Sunday morning words. Let it go. Ask somebody stab you in the back. Oh, just let it go. Ask someone lie on you. Oh, just let it go. Ask they walk by you like they don't owe you them $20. Oh, just let it go. As though... Oh, how beautiful.
beautiful. Some things are to preach on Sunday morning. But on Monday, when the church door is closed, can I still do that? When I don't have someone in my ear saying, forgive, is it still me, my nature, to forgive? See, it can only happen if I've been born again, if I've been changed. That's why it is necessary for us to submit to God. So he says, the one thing that I've learned, he says, I've apprehended this one thing. He says, and that is to forgive. See, forgetting and forgiving are two different things. So what he's saying is that I got to learn how to forgive. When I learn how to forgive, what it's all about is contentment. Contentment is, I'm okay with what you did to me. Because it's challenging. How can you be okay with what someone not did, but you're still doing it? How can I be okay with that? How can you say that you are a child of God and you still doing it to men, and then you run and get on your cell phone and tell somebody that I'm not a Christian because I respond, but it's okay for you to do it, but then my standards are higher? How is it okay when you treat folk in the church any kind of way, and when they fire back at your tail, then you run and you tell somebody, and they're not even a church girl, they're not even a Christian? Then what are you? Thing that I'm learning in life is that people will do to you exactly what you give them permission to do. And you want to know where the worst pain is in the church. Because church folk will do something and hide behind, not Christianity, but hide behind their religion. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't do that. If you were a Christian, you would loan me that. If you were a Christian, you would do that for me. And so what we do is we take the word of God and we press it off to someone else. And then we say, now if you're a child of God, then you should do those things. But what about what I should do? Should I love you? Should I take the knife out of your back? Should I respect you? Should I pray for you? See, we all have a part in this kingdom of God. Be content with what someone has done to us. See, in being content, we have to understand that if we don't let go, then holding on to something becomes lethal. The Greek word letha, the English word lethal, it means that something that is running through you, that is poison, that will kill you. And if you don't let go, if you don't forgive someone, it will kill you. And there you are, can't sleep. There you are, rolling your eyes at somebody else. There you are, have no peace. And then you die, and the turkey that did it to you, they just as happy, and they don't even know what's wrong with you. The devil is a lie. If somebody don't worry about it, you don't worry about it. Not me, you did it to me. I'm not going to carry this thing. I forgive you in the name of Jesus. I let it go in the name of Jesus. I'm not carrying that. You gotta become content. See, because just because somebody else did something to you doesn't mean that you are weak. It means that you understand meekness. And what meekness is power under control. Just because you did it, I'm not weak. I'm so strong that I can forgive you. I'm so strong I can go into your presence knowing that God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm not afraid of you. I'll come straight into your house and I'll fight you in your house. I'll pray for you in your house. You gotta know if God before. Who can be against me? Have you ever been up against something and thought they were going to kick your tail, and you reach down and you begin to pray, and when you begin to pray, God made a way out of no way? Have you somebody ever counted you out, thought you were through, and you looked around and God was blessing you somehow? Won't God let Won't God make a way? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? I know it's bad English, but I ain't why we're here. Ain't God all right? Ain't he a way maker? Won't he open some doors? Won't he be your bridge overcome? Won't he find some battle? Come on and give him some praise. Give him some praise right now. Because God has delivered you. God has gone through a long way. God did that for you. Everybody thought you were off. Everybody checked you off. But look at God in your life. He opened something for you. Look at God in your life. Turn that checkbook around. Look at God in your life. Get that cancer. Look at how much out. Get that. That's why we owe him a praise. That's why we owe him a praise. And if you too keep to praise him, that's all right. Don't hinder me. I got a praise for him. I know what he's done for me. And you know what he's done for you. Because you know you didn't do it by yourself. He says, forgetting those things that are behind. He says, I'm not concerned about that. He says, I'm content with everything that has happened in my life. See, the contentment that he's reached is from the fact that he knows that God is still in control. So he says, forgetting those things that are behind me, he says, but I still got press. In other words, even though I'm content with what happened, he says, I still understand that there are some challenges in my life. Everybody don't want to see you get your blessing. Everybody don't want to see things come through for you. Everybody don't want you to be blessed. And I've said it to you before. When God begins to bless you, just stop praising God. Just stop and look around and see who's rolling their eyes. See, that's why the Bible says you gotta pray and watch. Because while you just praising and shaking and shaking, the devil is setting up something for you. Everybody in your circle, baby, they're not supposed to be there. There's some folk in your circle, you need to kick out of your circle. There's some folk in your circle, you need to say, talk to the hand. There's some folk in your circle. You praising God and you pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. Okay, you stay holy. You better learn. I'm going to pray and submit to God over here. But I got my eyes on you over there. Because I know you. I know you. Thing about forgiveness. The reason that conflict came about is because you did something in the beginning. I ain't crazy. You did something. So I'm forgiving you for something that you did. Just because I got holy and God came in my life doesn't mean God changed your enemies. And so you put your guard down, think that they're alright and they still tearing you up. And you say, why you do that? Because I'm a snake and I'm supposed to bite you. Because I can't be trusted and I'm just doing me. So why you press towards your mark? Understand that in the pressing there will always be challenges. And so he says, I press toward the mark. The word mark, what it symbolizes is a spot or a place of grace. So what God is saying is that you got to press toward that place, that spot, where I'm going to bless you, really bless you.
All right.
See,
come on now.
When you come to church, you enter into an intimate relationship. You old enough to have this. You enter into an intimate relationship with God. When you move into that place of intimacy with God, then that means that you found your spot. When you find that spot, nothing feels as wonderful as that spot. God is saying, my spot is praise. When you enter into a place of praise, he says, now that's the mark. When you enter into that place, he says, now when you begin to praise me and worship me, he says, can't nobody do you. So y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Just live on. And then one day somebody hits your spot. And you go, ooh. Doesn't feel good. Have you ever been in the presence of God? And God hits your spot. And you go, ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Feel it again. Ooh. Touch me, God. Toward the mark. I'm almost done. You got pressed toward the mark. He says, because that's the calling. Now the calling is a confusing part, because the calling means that you got to crucify yourself. Because in the natural, I don't want to forgive you. But when I die to God's will, it's not about me wanting to forgive you. I can't stop but forgiving you. Because the Bible says you have to crucify self daily. Every day. Because every day you're going to run to a fool. Every day somebody's going to do crazy to you. Every day. Every day. So every day I have to crucify self. When I learn to crucify self, then God is then shaping me more. Because he's taking me to a higher calling. But I can't make it to the higher calling as long as small have me. God is pulling me higher, but I got some little friends down here. God is trying to pull me higher, but I got some little faults down here. God is trying to enlarge my territory, but I got little faith down here. So in order for me to go to those higher places, I got to let go little in my life. I got to move beyond the little stuff. I got to learn how to be like an eagle and rise above the situation, above the circumstance. And so when the eagle begins to go through the storm, that's why they fly so high. See, because what they've learned is that you got to go above the storm, above the foolishness, above the small talk, above the gossip, above the he say, above what they think about you, above what your checkbook says. You got to go above that. And when you begin to fly above your storm, then you experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. But as long as you're an eagle and you're still flying down with turkeys, so every time a little conflict comes in your life. You know your friends that talk real big and real bad, and then conflict comes, and then they punk out on you. Turkeys, 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 turkeys. See, you gotta know who you're hanging out with. You gotta understand that when the storm comes, I'm going right up above the storm. Because what I know about me is that I have dominion, I have authority. I have the power and I'm supposed to walk on this. This is nothing to me. Every crisis in my life is a cradle for character. Every bad thing that happened in my life is to make me better. Every little lemon in my life is for me to squeeze and make lemonade. Now tell me again what you're going to do. Because I'll turn that thing around. Tell me again what you're praying for me. Because if it's not what I'm praying, I'll turn it around in the name of Jesus. Have you ever found out somebody was against you? And then you say, I don't care, because I know that if God be for me, we got to learn how to forgive.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
It's the last thing that is on your mind every day. It's the hardest thing to give away. It's opposite of how I feel, because the pain is so real.
Yes.
It's forgiveness. Forgiveness means to pardon, to free someone. And you see, when Jesus died on the cross, he freed us. Yeah, amen. Out of the mouth of the head. While they bring up your past, you have to remind them of your presence.
Yes.
See, the presence that God gave us is not a Christmas thing. It's an everyday thing.
Yes, it is.
He lives.
Thank you, Lord.
Does he live in your life?
Yes.
Or is God dead? Is Jesus still on the cross? Or has he rose?
He rose.
Where is he in your mind? See, I can forgive when I understand that the bad stuff that I've gone through in life, he did it.
Amen.
Who?
He did.
Him. That one. He did it. So what did he have in mind when I was going through? He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I have a plan for you.
Yes.
Sometimes the plan involves pain. But I know the plan that I have for you. He says, plans of peace. I don't want to destroy you. So when you were going through something, you said, Lord, I'm going to be destroyed. He said, no, it's a setup for a blessing.
Amen.
Look in your life. You see what you have this morning in your life?
Yes.
Had you not gone through the foolishness that you went through, you wouldn't know how to give him a praise. The reason that you can praise him now is because of the pain that was in that stuff. Because you know God brought you out. Because your friends walked out on you and you didn't have anybody but God. You didn't have nobody you could turn to. Nobody but God led you through that. And that's why you owe him a praise. Because he brought you out. Won't God bring you out? Won't God deliver you? Won't God give you salvation? Won't God give you peace? Then give him some praise as well. Come on and stand with me this morning. Because God is delivering